Today, we're concerned about the Word of the Lord. Many majestic tributes are presented toward sacred scriptures as revealed in Psalms, the 19th chapter. The Word of the Lord says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them that is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Such a wonderful passage of Scripture. In previous broadcasts, we discussed the Word of the Lord and how that it is pure, practical, and powerful. Today, we have the affirmation that the Word of the Lord is piercing. The penetrating power of the Word of God is eloquently described in Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This passage affirms that God's Word is alive and powerful. In no sense of the term is it a dead letter, as Protestant denominationalism has frequently affirmed. Living power resides in the Word of God. The Word is sharp. It pierces. It has power to discern. In fact, God's Word is so powerfully penetrating and pointedly piercing that many auditors have said, at the end of a straightforward sermon, "You intended that sermon just for me." Perhaps the preacher of the message was totally unaware of the exact nature of the person's sin that was exposed in that particular discourse. In reality, the gospel, not the preacher, did the real piercing. The message, not the messenger, performed the real penetrating and sin-searching heart. Isaac Walton, an English author, is credited with paying his worthy tribute to the Bible's great penetrating power when he said, "Every hour I read, it kills a sin or lets a virtue in to fight it." God made the heart of man and has perfectly adapted the Word to penetrate that heart and move it to action, good or bad. My friends, Word of the Lord is that which will perpetrate itself and is absolutely preserved. Israel's sweet singer once wrote, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. Another psalm majestically maintains that God's truth will last forever. "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalms 100, verse 5. 3 millenniums of passing time have witnessed a perfect fulfillment of these amazing announcements. Current writers would be arrogantly absurd to predict such of their uninspired productions. Much of what is written today will fade into almost immediate forgetfulness. Beloved, are you listening? Humanly produced books and writings soon run their course and fade into less than nothingness. In contrast to the Word of the Lord, which abideth forever and ever. The New Testament continues this same emphasis upon eternal nature of God's Word. Jesus announced that the temple, so stately, solid, and stable, would collapse. The holy city, built on 4 majestic hills, would fall under the hand of the persistent Roman army, and multitudes of unbelieving Jews would perish amidst this unparalleled wave of utter destruction. in a remarkable contrast between the temporary nature of this universe and the eternal abiding nature of His Word, Jesus declared authoritatively, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Matthew 24:35. Relative to the enduring nature of the Lord's Word, Peter wrote these words, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." 1 Peter 1:23-25. Some of the Bible has 35 long centuries of hoary age resting upon its sacred brow. Every line of the Bible has some 19 centuries of proven age. The sacred scriptures are still very much with us, regardless of all the past atheistic ravings of Voltaires and Ingersolls and others about the Bible's doom as it was to come in their time. The majestic writings of the Bible just march along from generation to generation. While the world no longer bothers to read to any great extent, what those brilliant infidels have left of their infamous legacy. What a tribute to truth. What a shame to infidelity. The inspired anvil is still wearing out the humanistic hammers of the infidelity of its avowed enemies and the indifferent neglect from its supposed friends. The poem is expressing that thought very well, like this. "Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vespers chime. When looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. 'How many anvils have you had,' said I, 'to wear the battered all these hammers so?' 'Just one,' he said. Then said with a twinkling eye, 'The anvil wears the hammers out, you know.' And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptics' blow have beat upon, yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone." Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is powerful, and it is everlasting. It is that by which we shall be judged in the judgment day. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to save your soul, if you will believe and obey it. Have you obeyed the Word of the Lord? Remember, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Have you obeyed that part of the Word of the Lord?